Well, I'm Tad, and I'm filling in for Brett tonight. So, do you guys ever feel like you wish you could be used by the Lord more than you are? Yeah, I think we all feel that way. I always want to start with a question that's easy, and then I'll get a positive answer. But you know, it's true. We all really want to be used by the Lord. We want for the Lord to do things through us, whether they're big things or little things, but just that knowledge that the Lord is using us, that we're useful to Him, that's a fun thing. But I think a lot of times, if you're like me, you feel like, man, I wish I knew more. I wish I had more experience. I wish that I was, you know, I can think of different great Christian men that I've known or known about. And one thing I hear quite a bit, I don't know if you guys find yourselves thinking this way or not, but I hear quite often when I'm talking to people, they say, man, I would love to, I really want to be used by the Lord in this circumstance or this situation that I'm going into, but I'm afraid that I just don't know what to do. And I wish I was a pastor, because then I'd know what to do. I mean, people say that to me all the time. And it's really kind of funny because inside, every time I kind of laugh because I think, yeah, right. And the reason I mean that, say that, is because here's the truth. Pastors don't know anything. We're always in the same position as everybody else, and that is, what am I going to do? You know, when we get into tricky spots or difficult situations, and we think, man, what will I say, or what will I do, or how will I act? And the truth is, we all feel that way. I remember when I was young, and I was still in college and everything, but I really felt like the Lord was calling me into ministry and stuff, and I remember thinking, boy, it's going to be so much easier to talk to people about Jesus when I'm a pastor. Because right now, nobody takes me seriously. What I didn't realize is that was going to be the story of my life. But you know, we think, oh man, if only I was this way, or if I only had that education, or if only I had this gift or the other gift or whatever, then God would use me. But you know, I've been thinking about this a little bit in the last few days, and that is, the Lord uses a lot of funny people, a lot of interesting people. And if you start thinking through your Bible, in other words, just start thinking of some of the famous characters, you could say, and you realize, man, the Lord uses every kind of person, and He speaks to all sorts of people in all sorts of different circumstances in all sorts of ways. And it gives me confidence, and I'll tell you why. Because it tells me that the Lord wants to use me, He wants to use you, and it's going to be in a different way. And it may seem odd, and it may not be what you're expecting, but it'll be what He wants. So I just want to read one story, and it's kind of one of the more famous stories in the Bible tonight. So if you want to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17, I'm going to read quite a bit. But it's Wednesday night, so I figured we could kind of get away with it. You guys are used to that. So what I want to do is I want to read really this whole chapter, and it's a long one. But it's a famous story, but because of that, what I'm hoping you can do is, I know you're going to be reading along, and I know the tendency is after a little bit to kind of fade and start thinking about what you did today or what you didn't do today, what you were supposed to have done before you came to church, what you need to do when you first get home, the clothes that you didn't wash for tomorrow, or whatever the panic thing will be, just be aware that's going to come, and then just ignore it. And I want you to listen to this story about David and Goliath as though you're David. And without knowing what David's going to do, and without knowing what you would do in that circumstance, but just think, okay, let's just look at this, because there's some good things here, but it's going to take a little bit of time to read. So 1 Samuel 17, verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Soco in Judah. They pitched camp at Ephrathdamim between Soco and Azekah. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the Valley of Elah and drew up their battle lines to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another, with the valley between them. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. He was over 9 feet tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor, bronze, weighing 5,000 shekels, or 125 pounds. On his legs, he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels, or about 15 pounds. His shield bearer went ahead of him. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are not you the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your servants. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Now David was the son of an Ephrathite named Jesse, who was from Bethlehem in Judah. Jesse had 8 sons, and in Saul's time he was old and well advanced in years. Jesse's 3 oldest sons had followed Saul to the war. The firstborn was Eliab, the second Aminadab, and the third Shammah. David was the youngest. The 3 oldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep at Bethlehem. For 40 days, the Philistine came forward every morning and evening and took his stand. Now Jesse said to his son David, "Take this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to their camp. Take along these 10 cheeses and to the commander of their unit. See how your brothers are and bring back some assurance from them." There was Saul and the men of Israel in the Valley of Elah fighting against the Philistines. Early in the morning, David left the flock with a shepherd, loaded up, and set out as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines facing each other. David left the things with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines, and greeted his brothers. As he was talking to them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. When the Israelites saw the man, they all ran from him in great fear. Now the Israelites had been saying, "Do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his father's family from taxes in Israel." David asked the men standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" They repeated to him what they had been saying and told him, "This is what will be done for the man who kills him." When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert? I know how conceited and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle." "Now what have I done?" said David. "Can't I even speak?" He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter. And the men answered him as before. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy, and he has been a fighting man from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. I cannot go in these, he said to Saul, because I am not used to them. So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, and put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag. With his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Come here, he said, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. David ran and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it from the scabbard. After he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. The best part of the story. When the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and ran. Then the men of Israel and Judah surged forward with a shout and pursued the Philistines to the entrance of Gath and to the gates of Ekron. Their dead were strewn along the Sherzim road to Gath and Ekron. When the Israelites returned from chasing the Philistines, they plundered their camp. David took the Philistine's head and brought it to Jerusalem, and he put the Philistine's weapons in his own tent. And then we can just leave that. He goes on and talks to Saul a little bit at the end of the chapter. Now, why did I read such a long section like that? Because I hope to remind you guys, as I've been reminding myself, of something, and that is David. We know David was anointed to be king at this point, even though he was only a boy. He had been anointed. Samuel had gone to him. But he still was a boy, and he wasn't king. He was a shepherd. And yet, he was willing to do something that the Lord had put in front of him. And I'll tell you, when I read that story, you know, it's such a great one. We all know the story. And if you guys are like me, I picture all the little kids' books with this story in it. I still see the artwork and things like that. I still see, I don't remember the name of the Bible story book we had for our kids. But my son Joel, I used to have to read this story to him every single night. until he got to the point where he had it completely memorized word for word, and he would just say it the same time I did and stuff like that. But I love it because it's really a great picture, David is here, of what we can be like for the Lord as well. And so I just want to look at basically three simple things that David did that we can do as we're walking with the Lord, as you're saying, man, I want to tell people about Jesus. I want to let my light shine before men. I want to be useful to the Lord. Then here's what I want to say. Let's take a look at, like I said, a couple of things here, and also just kind of say, okay, Lord, I want to be useful. I want to be used. And the first thing you got to do is, obviously, you got to hear the Lord. And once you've heard the Lord, then here's the important part. Because once you see the situation, once the Lord's revealed the thing to you, whatever it may be, then what happens is you've got to take that first step. And the first step is the important one. Now, here's what I believe. If David would have taken this first step and said, that Philistine thinks he's so great, he's not, he's a jerk, and I'm going to take him on, David would have been squished. That's my belief. But David didn't say that. David was concerned about what the Philistine was doing and saying in defying the Lord. And he talks about defying the armies of Israel, but he's really saying the armies of the living God. And the reason I believe that we can really see that is because I think it's in verse 37 here. Yes, when he's talking to Saul, he says, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. The important thing for us to remember is for the Lord to use us, we also have to be willing for it to be the Lord. We have to be relying on it, or relying on him for it to be effective. I mean, I think that probably goes without saying, but somehow, I don't know if you guys are like me, a lot of times you say, okay, I want to do something for the Lord, and then it becomes something that I am doing, and I'm saying it's for the Lord, but it's not something that the Lord is telling me to do. Do you know what I'm saying? That it's easy to say, okay, Lord, I'm gonna go street witness for you. But if the Lord's not leading me to do it, then I'm not doing what he's asked me to do. I'm doing what I feel like doing, even though it's a spiritual thing, let's say, or something for the Lord. Here, the Lord, I believe, brought David into this situation, and David's like, okay, Lord, if I'm going to do this, it's only going to be because of you. If this works, it's only because you're the one who's going to deliver me. Too often we think, well, I can handle this. This isn't too hard. This won't be, you know, you overhear a conversation in a restaurant and you think, I could interject something here. I've seen people do this a lot, probably because I spend a lot of time in restaurants and coffee shops and stuff. But it usually doesn't go very well. I don't know if you guys have ever observed this kind of thing. But, you know, I've heard when, you know, one person is witnessing to another, and I think, oh, boy, I wish that this, like, I can think of this one circumstance. There were these two women who were talking, and I knew one of them, and I just wanted so bad to just add something that she missed in what she was saying. But then I remembered, no. If I say something, I'm going to mess everything up, because the Lord hasn't given me this conversation. He's given it to her. So what did I do? I got to pray for her while I was sitting there drinking my coffee and studying or whatever I was doing. Actually, I know what I was doing. I was writing emails. This was in Vanuatu, and we're in the capital. But and I remember that because I thought, okay, Lord, man, I almost committed the classic blunder of witnessing, and that's jumping in on somebody else's thing. But, you know, the big thing for us is to remember we've got to rely on the Lord and not just try to do things on our own. And so David here, he's like, the Lord is going to deliver me. He's delivered me from a bear. He's delivered me from a lion. He can deliver me from this guy. And honestly, that's probably true. I have a feeling fighting a lion would be a lot harder than fighting Goliath. Now, if Goliath got a hold of him, that might be pretty bad. But you know what I'm saying. Lions are quick. Goliath, my guess, is probably not the fastest guy because he's very large. My point is, remember that when you're going into circumstance, let's say you're saying, I've got to go to a situation where a friend of mine is in the hospital and just got a bad diagnosis. What do I do? What do I say? I want to be an encouragement. I want to be a blessing, but I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. That's okay. That's normal. Just say, Lord, what would you have me to say? What would you have me to do? Remember, the Lord's the one who will give you the words to speak. And if you're wanting to talk to somebody about Jesus, you really want to make sure that Jesus is the one empowering you to talk about him. And you want to remember him. And you want to say, okay, Lord, before I go, help me to hear your voice. Lord, is there anything you'd be telling me right now? And maybe you can spend a little bit of time reading your Bible or thinking about things the Lord's spoken to you in the past and say, Lord, are these things that you would have me to share? And if you don't hear anything, just say, okay, Lord, I'm not going to say anything until I know there's something you have me to say. But just say, okay, I'll be listening. I'm going to be remembering that you're the one who's going to bring it about. Give me the opportunity, Lord. You open the door. And then remember that the Lord is the one who's done it in the past. You know, I don't know about you guys, but I'm always encouraged when I remember, okay, the Lord's helped me with similar situations before. I mean, yeah, they may be very different. Fighting a lion and fighting Goliath, they're quite different, but they're both fights. You know, it's both David putting his life on the line, and he's able to say, okay, Lord, you help me with a lion, you help me with a bear, you're going to help me with Goliath. And remember, it's the Lord who's going to do it. If you rely on the Lord, you'll be amazed at how easy things go. You know, when you read that story, you realize, man, it was actually pretty, it's almost anticlimactic. David goes out there, and you expect this big battle between quick, nimble David, doing slow but sure damage against the gigantic Goliath. But it wasn't like that at all. It was one rock, and it was over. And it was because it was the Lord. I don't think it was because David was so excellent with the sling, although maybe that was part of it. But I don't think that's really, to me, I don't see that as being the big thing. To me, you see, that's the Lord. That this big, gigantic guy who's 10 feet tall was knocked down by a rock from David's sling, who's a boy. We don't know exactly. He wasn't a child, but he wasn't, you know, he wasn't a man yet. But it was the Lord. So, with that said, here's the other thing, or another thing, I should say, that I want you to take note of, and it's something we think about when we read this story, at least I always do. And it's down here a little bit farther than, what is it, around verse 38. Well, let's just go to, yeah, I'll just read that, verse 38. It says, Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. Then he says, I cannot go in these, he said to Saul, because I'm not used to them. So he took them off. I love that. And here's why. Kind of an interesting thing. David already has said, the Lord's going to give me Goliath. The Lord's going to protect me. He's done it before. And the Lord's going to do the whole thing. He was aware of that. But then he made kind of a big goof. And that is, he started putting on Saul's stuff. Now, if the Lord's going to give him the battle, does he need Saul's stuff? No. But do we do the same thing? Yes, a lot of times. Here's what I'm talking about. When I was a newer Christian, I remember learning all these different techniques for witnessing. And I even had a, I went to George Fox, and there was a class that we talked about, where we were talking about how to witness to people and things like that. And I remember learning about all these different courses and techniques and books and things that people were using all over the country, and they were very effective, and all sorts of people were coming to the Lord and all that stuff. And all I know is that as I read through each one, I felt more and more like a loser because I realized I can't do this. If I do that, that is not me. I'm going to feel like a dork. And I remember we had to go to Washington Square and talk to people about the Lord. It was a class assignment. Pretty funny. And it went terribly. I mean, it was awful. And I thought, man, I wonder if am I really saved? I'm not kidding. I really was wondering, like, man, what's wrong with me? Why can't I talk to people about Jesus? Because I want to. But I realized, man, I'm doing this thing, and it's not natural at all. For me, it was just awkward and weird, and I felt bizarre, and I felt like I was misleading people as we were trying different techniques. You know, and one of them was, oh, you're going to go ask people to survey, and you take a survey, and then you quickly change the subject to start talking to them about Jesus. Oh, yeah, that was really effective. Now, here's the truth. It was effective for some people. Whoever invented that or came up with that, it had been very effective, and it was great for them. But for me, it was horrible. And I'll tell you, I run into the same things throughout my life, that there's ways that the Lord will use you, and it's going to be different than the way he uses everybody else. And what I mean by that is, God created you to be you. Now, I don't look out here in this room and see maybe, let's say, 10 different people and just repeats of 10 different faces and 10 different haircuts and 10 different shirts or whatever. No, every one of us is different, right? We know that. That's why we can recognize each other. That's why we have unique names, and especially if you're like me, you got a weird name. Sorry, Mom, but it's true. Now she's embarrassed. I'm going to give my son a loser name. And he's still mad about it 52 years later. Still uncertain of himself. Anyway, just trying to rub it in a little bit while I can. But really, the Lord has made us to be who we are. And I know you guys, now I have to admit, while I'm talking about this, I'm aware that this could take on a tone of, oh, aren't we all wonderful, and aren't you all unique and special people and all that. I don't mean it that way. What I do mean, though, is the Lord has made you, you. He's put you where you are, and he's going to use you where he wants to use you. And he'll use somebody else where he wants to use somebody else. And he'll use me in a way that he won't use you, and he'll use you in a way that he doesn't use me. Now, they may be similar things. Maybe he'll use me to talk to somebody about the Lord, and he'll use you to talk to somebody about the Lord. But it's going to be different. Why? Because I'm different. You're different. See what I'm saying? And here's the thing with David. He made the mistake at the beginning of letting Saul put on his tunic and all the stuff and the helmet. And so David was walking around trying to fight like Saul, who was too afraid to fight, who couldn't take on Goliath. So why in the world would David start taking on Saul's thing when Saul couldn't do it himself? It's weird, right? But that's what we do. We think, wow, man, if I was like Pastor Brett, then I could just teach the word and people would receive Jesus and it would just be amazing. I could go to work and talk to anyone. But that's not true. You know how I know it's not true? If it was true, the Lord would have Brett at your job. But he put you there. That means he wants to use you and maybe some of your coworkers. And he'll use you in one area and use another one in another area. He'll use you the way he wants to use you. This is important because most of the time we dismiss ourselves and say, well, the Lord's not going to use me. I'm too dumb. I'm too different. I'm too deaf spiritually. I just can't hear the Lord. But you know what? It's just not true. And I'll just tell you something. This is just, I guess it will be an anecdote from my life that I believe. It's not from the Word. But it's just something that I have seen in recent years of my life. And that is, I'm beginning to understand that the Lord wants to use me in the way that He uses me. And it's funny because He'll use me in the same way in Vanuatu as He does here. And it's just interesting because they're very different places, very different circumstances, but it's kind of the same thing. Why? Because I'm the same. I'm weird wherever I'm at. And it's just the way it is. The Lord, I honestly have to say, when I'm in Vanuatu, I feel like I'm used about 100 times more than here. And it's just, I don't know why that is. I think maybe because there's a lot to do. It's just amazing. But that aside, it's the same. You know, I get to teach the Bible. I get to share with people about the Lord. I get to pray with people or whatever, you know. A lot of it's just when I'm going to the store, you know, when I go to town or I'm walking down the road and you run into somebody. And I think I shared this one time here, but really one of the greatest times of seeing fruit from something ridiculous was in Vanuatu when I was out swimming with my family and we were just goofing off for the afternoon because it was a really hot day. And so we went to the Blue Hole and it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful little swimming hole, maybe about the size of this building. And it's fresh water and it's wonderful. But we were there swimming, goofing off, and I wasn't planning on doing anything, so to speak. We never run into people or whatever, yet that day we did, and I ended up having a conversation with a few men, and that was the beginning of the Lord bringing a whole huge group of people out to our church that are still going 8 years later now, you know, and it was all just something that wasn't planned, it wasn't thought about, it was just a little aside that at the moment didn't seem like a big deal. Well, it seemed like a little bit of a deal, I guess, as we went when we were driving home, we were talking about it. But it was pretty interesting. The reason I say it is I have been realizing the Lord uses me the most when I'm just ready wherever I am at. It's not Him saying, Dad, you will do this in the future. Or if you prepare and work really hard, I'll use you in 3 months. Or next week. It's going to be something, here's my guess, you're going to find the Lord's putting something in your path, someone in your path, a circumstance in your path, tomorrow, just as you're going about your day. Maybe when you're filling the car up with gas, it might be when you're at the store, it might be when you're at work, it might be driving down the road where, I'm not talking about things that you have to do for Him, but maybe He'll be just speaking to you. All of that is to say, it's because the Lord wants you as an individual, not you as a crowd, although that's true too. So don't fall for the or fall into the trap of thinking, man, if I was only like Billy Graham, or if only I had, boy, if I was like Ravi Zacharias, or R.C. Sproul, I'd love to be an intellect like that. But you're not, so don't try. That doesn't mean you can't read and study and enjoy that stuff, but you don't have to be that. You can be you. You're the best you there is. Now, see, again, I'm starting to sound like I'm saying kind of mushy psychological stuff. I don't mean it that way. Kind of creeps me out if I feel like I'm, you know, I don't know if you even know what I'm saying. Probably not. think about this. Here's kind of what I am talking about. Remember the story? It's toward the end of the book of Acts. Paul is headed to Rome, and he's on a ship, and they get shipwrecked. He's a prisoner. And remember that he's out collecting firewood. I'm just racing through the story because I'm getting to the point. Remember, he's collecting firewood, and he's throwing firewood on a fire so everybody can get warm because it's in a big storm. Do you remember that story? And a viper comes and bites Paul. Remember that? And remember how you can kind of picture, he's just scooping branches and stuff up, whatever, and he gets bitten, and this thing's hanging off his arm, and he just kind of shakes it off in the fire. And I have the feeling all he did is went and just started, you know, kept going. He didn't even think about it. But what happened? All of a sudden, everybody was looking at Paul and saying, what is the deal? Of course, they made the mistake. They thought he must be a god because he's not dead. And of course, he said, no, I'm just a man like everyone else. But he got to tell them why he was able to shake that viper off. And what was the reason? Because Jesus was sending him to Rome. God had another plan for his life, and it wasn't to be killed by a viper during a storm on an island. The Lord had something else. And so Paul, I mean, he just shook the thing off, and he didn't even think about it. I love that part of the story, and I'll tell you why. Because that's how I see the Lord using us most of the time. We don't even know that we're being used. We're not even aware that people are watching. But they are. They're observing, and then they say, whoa, how is it that you reacted like that? Or maybe it's better to say, how is it that you didn't react to that? What's going on? What's the deal with you? You know, don't feel like you always have to say something or be something extra special when you're around people that you're wanting to, you know, you're saying, I want to let my light shine. Just let it shine. And live your life and talk to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm here in this place and it's hard. It's a dark place. I want my light to shine. Lord, would you show me how? But don't work at it. Just talk to the Lord. Let him do it. Relax. In a sense, that's what David was doing. When he took off all that heavy stuff, he's like, man, I'm not going to carry that junk out into the battle. All those burdens, you know, wearing that helmet of Saul's that was probably too big, he couldn't see, and it's slopping around on his head and you know, or sliding around on his head, you know what I'm saying? And he said, no, I'm going to leave that stuff. I'm going to go out there with what I usually have, a stick and a sling, got a few rocks for my sling. And I'll bet you David did that all the time. I mean, man, you know, if you got a slingshot, you always carry rocks, and you always are practicing. I know that because we do that all the time in Vanuatu. So I'm not very good, but I'm not bad. well, they make me feel like I'm not bad. They're very nice about that. But think of it this way. Okay, another way of saying kind of the same thing. What if Peter felt like he had to be Paul or like Paul? I like these two guys because they're so different. You know, we hear from history that Paul was kind of walked with a hunchback and a big nose and weepy eyes and was kind of a frail person, although we know he wasn't frail because he was tough as nails, but he was not impressive to look at, let's put it that way. And Peter, on the other hand, was the big, giant, boisterous, loudmouth, center of attention kind of guy. But Peter, the book of Acts tells us, was kind of an ordinary, unschooled guy. In other words, you know, he wasn't the brightest guy. Paul, on the other hand, is still known as one of the most brilliant minds of all time. Not just by Bible scholars, but by people who study Greek. You know, the first 13 verses in Ephesians chapter 1 are all one sentence. Read that sometime. Ephesians chapter 1, the first 13 verses, all one sentence in the original. I don't know how it was one sentence. I mean, when you read it in English, there's no way it's like 15 sentences. But he was brilliant. But you know what? The Lord used Peter, and the Lord used Paul, and he used them in opposite ways that we would. He sent Paul to the Gentiles. He sent Peter to the Jews. I think I would have reversed that. I would have put Peter with the Gentiles and Paul with the Jews, because he knew everything and he could debate these guys like nobody's business. But that's not what the Lord did. The Lord had different plans. And the Lord may have different plans for you than you expect. You may think, man, I'm kind of like Peter. I'm tough. I've got a loud mouth. Maybe I'm not the smartest, but I make up for it with volume. Hey, just pay attention. The Lord will use you where you're not expecting. That's been my experience. Anyway, the last thing I want you to look at is, and this is kind of a cool thing here. It's verse 48. It says here that as the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Why did David do that? Everybody else ran too. All the other guys, they ran, but they ran away. Goliath, we don't know exactly how far those battle lines were one from each other. I've been to that area. It's not that big. You know, I don't know if when you read this story, I always picture the Philistines were up on this hill, the Israelites were on that hill, and I picture, like, you know, almost like here, maybe we're, you know, the Israelites, and we're all on this hill, and then the Philistines are down near the Athey Creek Middle School, you know, or something like that. No. It was more like the Philistines were on that side of the building, and the Israelites were on that side of the building. Just out of shot, probably, is all, when they came to the battle lines. They weren't very far away. I mean, obviously, they're talking to each other. But the guys all took off, and they ran. But when David was facing Goliath, they're apparently kind of walking to each other, and Goliath's talking trash, and David's answering back great words of truth. And then what happens? As they get kind of close, David just goes, pew, and gets real close, and then kills Goliath. But I like that. I'll tell you why. Because David knew what he was doing was the Lord at that point. In other words, he knew that that's what the Lord had for him to do. He was going to face this guy. The Lord was going to give him the battle. The Lord was going to give him the victory. And so he ran. There's another story in Acts chapter 8 with a similar thing. You remember? I'll just tell you about it. You can look it up. It's the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And the Lord told Philip, hey, head down to the Gaza area. And so Philip started going down the road out of Jerusalem down there, and he got near this Ethiopian eunuch who was sitting on the back of his cart reading the Bible. But, you know, when you read it, you realize he was still a little ways away. And then the Lord said to him, hey, go up near that guy. So Philip kind of got near there, but when you read it, it says that he ran up to him because the Lord told him, go talk to that guy. And so he just ran over there. And I love that, because when you do that, when you take a move like that, you're kind of putting yourself on the line. David put himself on the line. Philip put himself on the line. And sometimes that's what is going to be the best thing. When you know that the Lord's given you something, there's an opportunity. Somebody just said something at work that just kind of gives you a perfect opportunity, not to be a dorky Christian and have the cheesy answer, but something to say something that's true and meaningful. And you don't have, you know what I'm talking about. You're not forcing anything. It's natural. And you know, I've got a moment. Run for it. In other words, take it on and just let the Lord do the rest. He will. Now, I'm not saying that you should open your mouth if you don't know the Lord's telling you to. Don't. That gets awkward. But when you know that the Lord is showing you something and he's giving you an opportunity, man, once you know that you're relying on him and you're thinking, okay, it's going to have to be the Lord, and you're relaxed and you say, okay, this is kind of how he uses me, or I could see the Lord using me in this way, then go for it. Don't hang back. Don't wait and see. Well, maybe it'll happen again. You'll miss it. You have to run. When the Lord speaks, run. In other words, be quick to do what he asks you to do. And you'll be glad you did. I know of how many times I have missed the opportunity that I should have had. Many come to my mind when I know the Lord has put me in a place, given me an opportunity either to say something or to share a word, and I didn't because I hesitated, and then the opportunity was gone. More than once, I've had someone else say the very thing that the Lord had put on my heart to say. And I realized, okay, I missed that, and the Lord gave it to somebody else. I'm glad he did. But I realized, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. Because you wanted me to say it. Or you wanted me to share that thing. So, pretty simple thing tonight, really. If you want to be used, which I know you do, then look for the opportunities that the Lord puts in your path. Don't jump on them. Make your own opportunities. Let the Lord reveal them to you. Let the Lord show you, and then rely on him. Say, Lord, I'm not going to do this if it's not you. But then when he opens that door or he gives you that chance, whatever it may be, then take it on. You know, do it the way the Lord would have you to do it. Don't feel like you have to be like someone else. It's kind of offensive. This is kind of an aside, but I don't know if you ever get around somebody who acts like somebody else and they're not acting like themselves. That's always awkward for me when somebody's acting like somebody else and not themselves. That can happen sometimes in churches where we can all take on different people's personalities. It happens in college too, for that matter. You know, when you get groups of people together, you know, sometimes the person with a strong personality will rub off on a whole bunch of people or whatever. But be careful, man. Don't do that. Say, man, Lord, I want to be the person you want me to be. And here's the best part. You're not fully there yet, but he's still going to use you right now. That's what I love. The Lord is good that way. You know, David wasn't the man that he was going to become. But man, the Lord did a big thing with him as a young kid. The Lord wants to do the same kind of stuff with us. He's wanting to use you guys wherever you are. You don't have to be better than you are right now. You don't have to be smarter. You don't have to be wiser. Do you need wisdom? Absolutely. Do you need to learn more? Probably. Do you need to become more like Jesus? Absolutely. You know, but that's the beauty of it. We get to do that. The Lord still wants to use us along the way, which I'm thankful for. Well, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being involved in our lives. Lord, we're amazed that you care about us. Because, Lord, I know when I think about myself, I think, man, why would you care about me? Why would you want to use me? And I don't know the answer to that, except to say, Lord, that I know that you're good and you're merciful and you're kind and you do want to use each one of us. And so, Lord, we just ask, even now, that you would be showing us the open doors that you've put before each one of us. Lord, whether it's a change of direction, or whether it's some avenue to encourage or bless some person that we're connected to, whether a friend or family or coworker or whatever. Lord, we just want to be available to you, and we want you to use us. And we want to be a blessing to you first and foremost, and then to people too. So Lord, help us to love you more. Help us to have ears that hear your voice, that are listening for you. And Lord, I just pray that you would bless each one who came out tonight. Lord, I pray that you would use these guys, even tonight. Husbands and wives and kids and friends, co-workers. Lord, we just want to be your kids, available to be used in the way that you want to use us. And we just give you ourselves, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.